Well, dear congregation, the theme for the sermon tonight is the lie and the truth. That's the theme. I don't have any particular thoughts for you. So just the theme, the lie and the truth. As you know, in our journey through the Ten Commandments, we have come to the ninth commandment. And I don't tell you anything new, that ninth commandment is inscribed on the second table. And the second table, and again, I don't tell you anything new, is about loving your neighbor as yourself. And that is positively stated, what we read literally on the table, on that second table on the Ten Commandments. Because if you read these commandments on the second table, you read negative commandments. You will not, you will not, you will not. Turn it the other way around. The positive commandment is here, love your neighbor as you love yourself. The remarkable thing about that second table is that these commandments inscribed by God's finger on that second table of the holy law are universally recognized. Wherever you come, everybody, wherever they live, whoever they are, they will recognize the truth and the wisdom of these commandments, of that what God inscribed on that table. We hear them every Sunday morning. We know them by heart. But actually, you hear them all the time in the world around you. Thoughtful and wise people will act without any doubt according to the commandments inscribed on that second table. Actually, you hear, of course, first of all, heavenly wisdom, because it is God who gave us these commandments and who inscribed them on these tablets of stone. It's heavenly wisdom. But at the other hand, it's universally recognized worldly wisdom. The world at large will not have problems with the second table. Tonight it is about the ninth commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Well, I think everybody will agree with that. Ask anyone else here in the street when you go out, do you agree with this commandment from God that we shouldn't bear any false witness? Well, probably everybody will agree. It's indeed worldly wisdom. But what actually is the interpretation of this ninth commandment? Let's begin there. And like with every commandment, it is like circles will grow wider and wider. Like you throw stone in a pond, you first see, you hear splash, and then you see circles. And these circles grow bigger and bigger and bigger, and in the end, they cover the entire pond. Well, something like that happens when we interpret the Ten Commandments. And it's also the case with the ninth commandment. Let me give you some of these circles. Let's start with the most inner circle. That's splash, when we throw the stone of the ninth commandment in the midst of our life, in the pond of our life. What is that first circle, that splash? Well, in the ninth commandment, it is first of all about the administration of justice. Right? We are called not to give false witness when we stand before a court, when we stand before a judge. We have to speak the truth possible with this data, and not to give any false witness. We even swear at it. So that's the first circle. Don't give a false witness, speak the truth positively stated when you stand in a court. Well, then let's move on to some wider circles. Well, the next interpretation is that all our speaking, also outside the court, when we do not stand before our judge, when we didn't swear to speak the truth. So everywhere where we are, our speaking should be a truthful speaking. As the Heidelberg Catechism puts it, it is nowhere fitting, says the Heidelberg Catechism, and then follows three things. First of all, it is not fitting to twist someone's words. Right, that's a false witness. To twist, to bend words from somebody else. Second, says the Heidelberg Catechism, it is not fitting to speak evil or slander. We all understand that. And thirdly, the Heidelberg Catechism tells, it is not fitting to condemn lightly your neighbor. Or to condemn your neighbor unheard. Well, that's clear for us. And any right-thinking person around us in the world will immediately agree with this second interpretation of the ninth commandment. Again, no problem. A third circle. We can speak the truth with our mouth. In that courtroom, standing before a judge, outside, in our daily course of life. But what if we are hypocrites? And we speak the truth, but our life tells a totally different story. We say one thing, but we do another thing. Then actually we lie. That's the third circle. Our life must be transparent. Right? It must be consistent. Word and deed should be in one line. They should agree with each other. Well, that's the third interpretation. So it's not only about our words, it's also about our course of life. What do we do in our daily life? And then the fourth circle. You see, right, that stone that splashes in these circles, and the pond is almost filled with these circles. And then the fourth circle. Where does lie begin? Where does giving a false witness begin? Indeed, in our hearts. So this commandment is also about our hearts. It begins with thinking, with feelings in our heart, in our inner life. The lie, not telling the truth, it all begins here, in our inner being. So actually this commandment it's not only about our words standing in that court, our words in daily life, it's not only about what we do, it is even about our inner being. Our whole life, everything we do, here in our inner, in our deeds, in our words, it all should be transparent and consistent. We should speak the truth and not bear false witness. So then, again, like last week, we are quickly finished tonight. Because I have explained to you the ninth commandment and we can go home, right? Are enough lessons for us. And I think that everyone will agree that this is important. Well, and everybody agrees that the world will be far better off when we indeed live according to these four interpretations. Oh, the world will be far better off. What a wisdom that the Lord asks our attention for the truth and tells us not to bear false witness And that it has to do with our way of life, with our inner being, with our hearts. That it should be transparent. What a wisdom. The Lord knows who we are, and therefore we hear it over and over again. Well, we are quickly finished tonight. But on the other hand, let's not be too fast and not run out here of the sanctuary. Let's just, please, be seated a moment longer, please. Because I think you agree with me that this commandment is violated. En masse, by so many people, all the time. And honestly, I think this commandment is violated by everybody, every day. There's none of us who didn't violate the ninth commandment. None of us. Everybody is guilty here. Who among us dares to state that he or she was completely transparent in his life? There was no hypocrisy at all. And you always spoke and did and taught the truth. You may raise your finger. Well, nobody. Of course not. Well, this alone, already this alone is a reason to listen attentively and to go a level deeper and to see what is really behind our behavior. Why are we violating the ninth commandment again and again and again? Why is it so deeply rooted? And is there a medicine? How can we learn to speak the truth and not to bear false witness? Well, it's important that you stay seated and that we listen. Because actually, again, like we said last week, when we listen to these commandments, it is not, the first purpose is not that we become better moral persons. No. Although it is important that we have a better life than we do have now. That indeed there is an increase in holiness. Of course, that's important, that we have a better moral life. But with the Ten Commandments, including the Ninth Commandment, we are said coram Deo, before God's holy countenance. It is God speaking to us. That's what's happening in every sermon, including tonight. We listen with reverence to the scriptures and we hear God's voice. And we hear God telling us, speak the truth. Don't bear false witness. Actually, we stand before the highest judge. And then, well, let us attentively listen and go a level deeper tonight. The text of the commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Did you hear my emphasis? Thou shalt not. Not. Literally translated, it says, it's a little weird in English, but if you should literally translate what is written in Hebrew, you read something like, not answer false witness. That's what it literally said. Not answer false witness. So it begins in Hebrew with that word not. All emphasis is on not. And again, right? We hear the same thing in the commandments. Do not kill. And in Hebrew, it begins with not. Not kill. Not commit adultery. Not steal. Not speak. Give a false witness. Again, that not in Hebrew, lo. No, not this. Lo, no, not this. Not this, not this. And then again, it is the same structure. Followed by a verb. You should not do. And then follows a certain action. Action. Why the structure? Well, it puts the full emphasis on that verb, that action. you should not do what this verb states. You should not do the action of this verb. Do not steal. Do not commit adultery. Again, again, and again. It is a very forceful and compelling way of addressing us. And actually it tells us that doing what follows in that verb is inescapable for us. We all do it. Not steal, right? That not followed by that verb. And let's be honest, we all steal. It's inescapable for us. So tonight, do not speak false witness. Let's be honest, we're all guilty there. It's inescapable for us. So that not followed by that verb is a very forceful and compelling way of speaking. It's like a mirror. This is who you are. You are stealing. You are committing adultery. You are doing this. You are doing that. Don't do it. Not. In other words, you are wrong. You're guilty. You're totally depraved. You're a rebel. You're a prodigal. You're lost. I can't see you. I can't bear you. Not. Please, change. That's what the law is telling us again and again and again and again. This mode of speaking addresses us as totally depraved sinners, fallen human beings. It exposes. Actually, and we go again a level deeper. It exposes in the first place Satan. Satan is the one who commits adultery. Satan is the one who steals. He's the one who speaks lies and false witness. It first of all exposes him. And then secondly, it exposes us. Lord, forgive. The law exposes that we are children of Satan. That's what the law is telling us tonight. How can I prove this? Well, let's circle back to the ninth command. Well, we have read Genesis. The serpent, Satan, said, yea, has God said, ye shall not. Not. That's remarkable. Satan is the father of not. Satan is always reversing God's word. God says A, and Satan says, no, not. And therefore, God holds up the Ten Commandments, no, low, not. Because Satan is that father of no, of not. Yea, has God said, Genesis 3, verse 1, and we hear Satan speaking, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Do not eat of the tree in the garden. What had God actually said? He had said the opposite. Eat of every tree in the garden, except that one tree, right? Except. You may eat of all trees. And Satan, he comes and in a little bit hidden way, because it is hard for us to hear it, he reverses it. Did God say actually, right? That's what God said actually, right? You should not eat. Well, God said indeed you should not eat. But only from one tree, and now he makes it from every. That's Satan. He's the father of lies. It all began with him. Well, that's the first. These are the first words of Satan, right? Which we read recorded for us in God's word. And then let's follow him a little bit more. We hear him speaking again. That first statement of Satan was a little bit more hidden, but he reversed God's word. He did so. Although it was more hidden, the second time he takes the floor, he does it so openly. He reverses the word of God, and he doesn't hide it anymore. He does it just openly. And he says, "Ye shall not surely die if you eat thereof." But the Lord had said the complete other thing. You will die if you eat thereof. And Satan makes it, you will not die if you eat thereof. You shall certainly not die. And God had said, Genesis 2, verse 17, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. You see what Satan is doing? And that's the tactic of Satan. Even nowadays, look to the world around us. He is reversing the word of God. Always, again and again and again. First hidden, so we don't see it, and then open and more open. You know what we read in John 8, verse 44? Please listen carefully. Because Satan precedes us. We do what he does. Let's be honest. Without grace, we do what he does. And therefore the Lord tells us in John 8, verse 44, ye are, you hear his anger and you hear his compassion, both of them. Both his anger on our sin, but also his compassion. Ye are of your father the devil. And the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer of the speaking. Right there we have another commandment. And abode none in the truth. The ninth commandment. Because there is no truth in him. He's empty. He's just empty. The only thing he does is reversing the word of God. Because it's God's enemy. When he speaketh, John 8, verse 44, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. He's a liar. He's the father of it. Well, these are clear words, open for just one interpretation. And the words of Jesus are underscored and underlined by the behavior of Satan in paradise. We just have seen that. Satan, nothing else than twisting and turning, reversing the word of God. And man, what does man do? Listen to the Father of life. There it begins. Listen. Listen. We listen to the world. And it sounds so attractive. Because it builds up. Us up in our pride, in our selfishness, in our lusts. So attractive. We listen. We listen. And then the second thing. We end, we respond, like Adam did. And then the third thing, we go along with that lie. That's how we are. What began in paradise is a typical pattern of our life. Satan comes again and again. Oh, it doesn't matter, you know, just something small. God is good. He's full of love. Yeah. He will forgive you, certainly. I just sin a little bit, you know, and then you say your prayer. It will be all right. You're a covenant child, right, isn't it? God promised, right, that he will be your father and forgive you, so don't worry. That's Satan, right? Am I right or not? And the world around is so deceptive. So deceptive. And we listen. It begins there. We listen. And then we answer and we start speaking in the same way. Listen to Adam. What did he say later on in paradise? And you hear his lie. So we recognize there that Satan is indeed became his father. There was an exchange of fathers. Instead of God, Satan. We hear him saying, the woman thou gavest to be with me. she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. You see, false testimony is given. The blame is entirely placed on another one. It's what we do so often. The blame is placed on that woman and then on God. And that pattern is repeating itself. The whole history of mankind. And it will keep repeating itself until the return of Jesus Christ. Satan deceives and tempts. He refers us to the word of God. We listen to it. We respond to it. And we act in the same way. And we switched from Father. And in the ninth commandment, this pattern is revealed to us. That's why it is worded as it is worded. Precisely because it reveals to us that underlying pattern, what happened. This is this chains of fathers, and that we are indeed totally corrupted because we opened the gates of our life, our ears, our eyes, our senses, and then our mind and heart for Satan. And he entered through the gates of our senses into our very existence. And we became totally corrupt. Not. What is the second word in that commandment? In Hebrew, right? In Hebrew, not in English. Not. What did I tell you? What is the second word in the ninth commandment? Not. And you hear? It's such a pity that it's not translated like that in the English language. It says, you shall not bear false witness. But actually it said, not answer. You hear what happened in paradise? And what we do over and again, we listen to the father of lies. Not answer. Your whole life, you know, here we are exposed. Your whole life is an answering to the Father of lies. Please, and the Lord is pleading with us, please, do not answer. Do not answer, Satan. That's what it's all about. Switch from Father, come to me. I am your Father, not Satan. I created you differently. I created you that you should answer me. And instead of that, we answer Satan. Do not answer with false testimony. Oh, this commandment is so exposing. The first sin is exposed, and that first sin keeps repeating itself. Let's be honest. Maybe you're different than I am. Our problem is that we as fallen men cannot speak than only in this way of false testimony. We cannot speak without false testimony. May I give you some examples to expose our lives a little bit more? Who among us does not regularly tell a little, just a little, white lie? I don't see any fingers. All of us, at night, we come up with this very little white, what a strange word, white lie. We think that it is white, it's not. What happens when we speak a little white lie? Well, we tactfully conceal something because we know that if we tell that thing, that it will harm us. So we just conceal it, a little white lie. We do not tell everything, right? We conceal a little bit. And we have the feeling we still speak the truth, right? We just hide something, that little white lie. We pretend. Oh, by example, to give you a more practical example, you have a job interview. And you have to open up about yourself. So what do? Let's be honest. We give, of course, a nice picture of who we are. We are even told to do so, right? You can follow classes in how to do a job interview. Well, they will tell you, do not tell everything, you know. Tell your positive sides. Of course, begin there and enlarge them. Show your skills. It's even told to us to come with little white lies. We pretend to be as nice and good as possible. And we hide, we conceal certain things. But that's a false testimony. That's a false testimony. We shouldn't do that as Christians. No, we shouldn't do that. Another example. All of us, we hide sin. Honestly, right? Are there things in your life and you're the only one who knows about it? Are there? Let's be honest with all of us. We all have our hidden sins. We do in secret places. Nobody sees them. We don't tell them, even not to our spouse or siblings or whatever. Even not to our pastor. Maybe to God in prayer. And he forgives. We shouldn't do that. But you see, indeed, that Satan became our father. You see? We hide things because it gives us a better reputation. And it gives us such a shame. We don't like to be ashamed. It exposes us when we open our heart. Let's be honest, when I have to open my heart tonight to all of you, I will be ashamed. It's so difficult for us. Our Father is the Father of our lives. A third example that indeed Satan became our father. Who of us does not regularly participate in gossip and backbiting or slander? Or maybe you're better than I am. Maybe you are. But do you recognize this? You know, piously, we say, have you heard? Well, not that I am any better, right? But do you recognize it? I do the same thing, but he or she. And there we go. Off we go. It's backbiting. It's slandering. It's gossiping. It's lying because we didn't hear the other. We are not certain. We are not sure that it is the truth. Or do you recognize the following saying? Well, I'm not allowed to tell you this. But, you know, I know I can tell you the truth. I can tell you that. I know you will certainly hide it and not tell it to others. You can keep your mouth shut, and then we gossip about our name. Do you recognize it? Or a last example, false witnessing with deeds. Maybe in our tax return reporting, I could give you more examples. Well, let's summarize it. We are all guilty. All. We are totally enslaved to listening to Satan, to answering him. This commandment exposed, and it showed us our deep, deep and total depravity. Lord, have mercy. We all are walking in the footsteps of sin. The Jews said piously, we have one Father God. And the Lord Jesus responds, your father is the devil. And he exposes their hearts. You know, so often in prayer we use the word Father. Some people have the habit to use that word 10, 20 times in the prayer. Father, 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 Father. In many prayers, God is continually called Father. Please be careful with it. Please, please. In Christ, I know, in Christ. When you come to Christ in repentance and you believe in him, you're adopted as a child. I know what a big wonder. He is your Father, but please be careful. Look to your life. Let's look to our life. Is he actually our father? Or when we look to our deeds, Satan is our father. Let's be honest here. Who dwells in our heart? Is it the father of all lies, or is it the heavenly father? Does the spirit indeed indwells it to us? Does it drive you out to Jesus Christ in repentance? Have mercy upon me. You take the back seat there because you dare not to sit here in the front seat. You're so afraid to be exposed. Well, every lie, every failure to speak the truth is an imitation of sin. Who of us is without sin and will cast the first stone? I certainly not. Does this commandment drive us out on our knees? A tree will be recognized by its fruit. Well, then my tree is certainly not good. But we have this comfort. One of the first fruits in that tree is our repentance. That's the sweet fruit in God's eyes. First fruit there at the tree, of that new tree, are tears. Our prayers, asking for forgiveness. The tree will be recognized by its fruits. Well, indeed, its first fruits are repentance. Let's go even a step further. This commandment is wide. It says literally in English, thou shalt not bear, and you know now it says not answer, and then follows false witness. I'll come back on that later. And then it ends with the words, against thy neighbor. Well, you could translate, it's an excellent translation, against thy neighbor. But you could translate also that word there in Hebrew with about thy neighbor. About. Because then the circle becomes wider. It is not only the neighbor I see in my immediate environment, in my close circle, because that is the against your neighbor, right? There is this almost physical presence. No, you should not bear false witness about your neighbor. The circle is wide. All there is always, right, that subterfuge in emphasizing that word neighbor and then interpreting that word neighbor as, it is my sibling, it is my spouse, my parents, my Christian neighbor here sitting in the pew in the church, but that's it, that's my neighbor. Right? We always come with that loophole, right? That's a nice loophole. We limit who is our neighbor. It is with whom we interact on a daily basis. And we have a kind of covenant. We live in the same covenant circle. Well, that's a nice loophole. That's nice. But you all know, right, that parable of the Good Samaritan. Jesus takes a knife and he takes a big step in this story, this loophole. You know that parable of the Good Samaritan. Who was the neighbor of the man lying down there at the roadside? The Samaritan. Not the Levite. The Samaritan. That man far away. That unknown man far away. He was the neighbor. So the circle is wide. And there is no loop. Well, before we move on to the last part of this sermon, let's sing a Psalter. Psalter 141, 141. There is all the reason to sing Psalm 51 after hearing these words. And therefore we will indeed sing Psalm 51. And we'll sing Psalm 51 on the wise of Psalter 131, and we'll sing the first two stanzas, stanzas 1 and 2. Let's concentrate on our heavenly Father. We have seen Satan. He's been expulsed. And I think all of us have to acknowledge that indeed he's our Father in our fallen nature. But there is another Father. And that Father, that Heavenly Father, is so completely different. He's the opposite of Satan, the father of life. The Heavenly Father is the Father of all truth. These are completely different things. It are the different ends of the spectrum. They are completely opposed. A lie is vanity. It's empty. It's nothing. It's non-existent. The truth is heavy. It's like a rock. You can build upon the truth. That's the truth. And the Heavenly Father is the Father of truth. He is the truth. He's like that rock you can build upon. Don't build your life on the lie of Satan, because your life will be in vain, will happen. And the end of the life, you have to appear before that Heavenly Father. And then you are not existent. You will be driven out before his face, cast into that eternal fire, because your life was a liar, live in lie, in vain, in false. He is the truth. And he is so. He is completely reliable. That's the first thing about truth. Completely reliable. And the second thing, He is completely transparent. Let me explain it a little bit. First of all, that God is the truth will say as much that he is trustworthy. You can really trust these words. God is the truth. He's completely reliable. Completely. May I prove it for you? What he speaks happens. That's the biggest proof that he is the truth and that his words are the truth. That's why the Bible begins with creation. He speaks and it happens. Because he is the truth. Whatever he says exists and happens. Whatever he speaks is there for always. You can trust on it. You can depend on it. You just see the same, by the way, in the covenant. In the covenant, he gives his blessings. You can trust these covenant blessings. And I know that many of you know personally about the trustworthiness of God's covenant promises. You know it by experience. You know that your sins are forgiven. Know it. But please, there's another side, right? God is also trustworthy in his covenant curse. Please. There are not only covenant blessings, there are covenant curses. Cursed is he who does not live according to God's covenant. Also, these words are completely reliable and trustworthy. Please. And God, in the third place, is trustworthy in the recreation. He is so trustworthy, he didn't let go these prodigal sons and daughters. He's trustworthy. He promised to come back with grace and mercy, full of compassion. And he did so. He gave his compassion in Jesus Christ. He gave his love, and that love became flesh in Christ. He gave the truth, and the truth became flesh, and it came to us in Christ. He is utterly trustworthy. You can trust him and depend on him. But that God is the truth does also mean that he is transparent. God is so amazing. We have that word. It is so precious. Why? Because we look God into his heart. Right? We conceal what is in the depth of our heart. Maybe at times we open up a little bit, right? When the Spirit comes and we are compelled to confess what is laying down there in that pit, that dark pit, right? But here in God's Word, we look God into his heart. Nothing is hidden. God doesn't hide anything. Everything he tells is the truth. You can depend on it, and it is transparent. He is consistent in all his words. When he tells you, seek me and you will find, he is transparent. You can trust him. When he tells you you are condemned, right, except you believe in Christ, he is transparent. He is open. He always opens his heart. Oh, therefore, please, I'll come back on that. Read his word. He's the God of truth. And Jesus Christ came. And how did John express that in the first chapter? He is full of grace and truth. You see, in him, God came down and truth became flesh. Love became flesh. You know, even his curse became flesh. At Calvary's cross, you can see that God is utterly, totally trustworthy. And that he's totally transparent and consistent. At Calvary's cross, at one hand, you see Christ's love, God's love. He gave his life for us. Isn't that amazing? At the other hand, God is utterly trustworthy and transparent. He cursed his son. There are these covenant curses. There are blessings and curses. Look to Christ. You see the truth. You see God in his heart. There he comes and he opens in heart in Christ. What is the main thing that we should do in our life? That we are allowed to do? To repent, to turn from that father of lies and a life in emptiness and idleness, and to turn to Christ, because in him God's truth became flesh. And he died under God's covenant curse. And in him, there is a heavenly storehouse full of blessings. God is utterly trustworthy and transparent. And you can see that in Christ. Well, something about the practice of our life before I say, hey, how do we escape the lie? How do we learn to speak the truth? Where do we draw the strength? How can we escape Satan? Because we are so enslaved to him and his life. Ah, I told you already. I'll come back on. The first thing is Jesus Christ. John calls him the way from Satan to the Father, from lie to truth. He is the way. He is the truth. Do you want to live a life in truth, building upon a rock, a stable life? Turn to Christ. He is the way, the truth, and therefore the life. Turn to Christ. That's the first thing. The ninth commandment compels us. Turn to Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is again that other side. I have to tell you. I have to warn you. I must, as God's servant, warn you. Without Christ, there is no truth and only lies. Your whole life will be one lie. It doesn't matter what you read in your life. It doesn't matter if you become, you know, a billionaire, if you have a great name, if you become president. It doesn't matter what other people say to you. If you don't flee to Christ and build on him the way, the truth, and the life, your life is in vain. It's empty. And for God, it's not existent. It will end in his wrath. Please, turn away from the father of lies. Don't wait. But there is a second thing, right? What to do practically? First of all, flee to Christ. Don't wait. And when we know Christ, you know, let's do it again and again every day. To be honest, I need it every day. I need it every hour. Every hour again, I have to repent. Lord, forgive. I spend my time in idleness and I sin. Lord, forgive, forgive. Turn to Christ. The second thing is, there are a few words in the ninth commandment I passed by. I'll read the commandment again. Thou shalt not bear, we heard it, not answer. False witness against thy neighbor. We have spoken about the first words and the last words, but not the middle words. False witness. In Hebrew, In Hebrew, for a witness, you read the same word as testimony. You should not give a false testimony. Testimony. Well, there is, let's keep it short, there is an utterly trustworthy testimony with God's word. You like to escape the law and the lie of the world and Satan? Turn to God's word. This is his testimony, and this is the truth. This is trustworthy, transparent, consistent. It has life, because you find Christ in it. And with him you have everything. So there is the testimony of Satan. It's just a lie. It's a false testimony. And there is the trustworthy testimony of God. Which testimony do we follow? Which testimony do we follow? Oh, read at home Psalm 119. That psalm sings the praises of this testimony. And it sets it against that false testimony. Or read Psalm 19. It is about the God's testimony. It's a wonderful gift. You know what it says in Psalm 19, verse 7? Maybe this is a comfort for you. Testimony of the Lord, not that one of Satan, because that's a lie, that's vanity, that's idleness, that's emptiness, but the testimony of the Lord is sure. And then what follows, you know that text by heart probably, it makes the simple wise. Are you simple? Simple people are in the Bible people without wisdom, without strength. I hope that each one of us is such a simple one. Lord, in myself, I do not have any wisdom, because I just hear Satan and I answer to him. There's foolishness. There's idleness. There's vanity. It's a vanity fair in my life. But Lord, open my heart for that truth. You want to escape Satan and the lie? Open this word, and it makes this simple, the hungry one, the thirsty one, wise. And therefore the Lord tells us in John, abide in me. How, Lord, how can I abide in you? Because I know, Christ, that you are the truth. How can I abide in you? And he continues, abide in my word. You see how consistent God is? God is utterly trustworthy. Please, open the word of God. Ponder about it. Meditate upon it. Learn it by heart. Open it again and again, that you will be saturated with the truth, instead of being saturated with the emptiness of the world. What do you prefer? Do you prefer a movie, 1.5 hour, you're saturated with the world? Or do you prefer a 1.5 hour reading of God's word, and you're saturated with the truth? And you build your life on the rock of ages. You find Christ in that word, and you find peace, wisdom, all you need. Well, this is the 9th commandment. It's the lie against the truth. Please, young people, please. I know how attractive the word is. I was young. I'm not better than you. I'm exactly the same. Please. Turn to Scripture. Don't wait. Do it again and again. Amen. Let's seek the Lord in prayer. Lord, how exposed we are tonight. Our life is laid open to its very roots. Lord, we should open our heart before thee and not withhold anything. It is a deep and dark pit. Lord, wash us, cleanse us in the blood of thy Son. Fill us with our spirit, with our word, the truth. Drive away all these lies and idleness and vanity. That our life is no longer a vanity fair, but that our heart will become a castle of truth. Oh Lord, help us. Thank thee for this word. Bless it. Forgive our sins in preaching and listening. Lord, it's just stammer. Just stammer. Lord, we wished we could hear it straight from thy mouth. But a time will come, we know. We know. But Lord, bless thy word. It's still thy word. And it has power. And it has compelling strength. Lord, go with us the coming week. Bless us. Lord, we turn to thee. We have learned this morning to rely on thee. And we heard that promise that relying on thee, there will be fruit in our life. Lord, here we are. We know that we can't trust ourselves, and therefore we turn to thy Son. We trust him. Nothing else. Nobody else. Lord, make us and give us fruitful life. And may this congregation be a fruitful congregation. Lord, that you may look down from heaven with pleasure. Forgive our sin, our many sins, and receive our grace. In the name of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, amen. Let's sing Psalter 95. Psalter 95. We'll sing three stanzas. Oh, that's all stanzas. Psalter 95, and we'll sing all stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Psalm 37, Psalter 95. Thank you. lift up your heart to the God of truth and receive his blessing. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.